We are all, as I mentioned in the email, we're all very much mishtatef in the tzar of our chaver, Rav Shabsi, who I know a lot of us haven't even met each other face-to-face because a lot of us have met only over Zoom, but I'm sure everyone realizes who Rav Shabsi is. He always enlightens us with good questions after the shir, and unfortunately, his brother was nifter. Actually, I think it might have even been during the shir last week. He got a phone call, and he didn't answer it until after the shir. But unfortunately, his brother was tragically nifter in England, in Manchester. And he's there sitting Shiva still till today. He's getting up today from Shiva. So we will certainly be thinking of him and thinking of his brother. His brother's name was Rabbi Yossi Schwinger. I don't know his father's name, but we will certainly be having him in mind as we do our learning. And we know that the Rambam says, famously in Hilchos Avil, that when a tragedy strikes the Chabura, so it's something incumbent on all the B'nai Chabura to take it to heart and not to say, oh, you know, God, good thing it didn't happen to me. But obviously the response is supposed to be that we are supposed to take a message as well and to try to better ourselves. So we certainly are being mishtatef in this tragedy. Okay. We were learning about Graf Shel Re'i. We're finishing up Graf Shel Re'i, which you remember is the bucket of excrement. We had seen in Simen Shin Ches, in Lamed Dalid, and in Lamed Hey, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses this very, very important heter of a Graf Shel Re'i. And we quoted that the poskim learn that the heter of Graf Shel Re'i is not only for actual excrement or vomit or the other very disgusting things that are mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, but it applies nowadays to anything that's offensive to a person, anything that disgusts a person, anything that is something that would bother a person. And we said that it's a hard line to draw. How do you define what's just, you know, I like to keep a very, very clean house, and what is considered something which has some element of repulsion to it? Probably the most important application of Graf Shel Re'i, because hopefully, you know, again, unless we have little children in the house, so then we do deal with it a little bit more. But even with little children in the house, probably the most common application of the din of Graf Shel Re'i is the taking out garbage and dealing with garbage on Shabbos. So are you allowed to take a garbage bag out of your house and throw it out, whether it's into, if you live in a more suburban area, so you probably have cans somewhere in your backyard or the side of your house. If you live in a more apartment city settings, there's probably a big dumpster somewhere in the front of the building. So are you able to take out the garbage? So let's work with the square one. Square one is the garbage is clearly muksa. Everything that's in the garbage are things that have no use on Shabbos, things that are disgusting. And those are all things that are muksa. We spoke about already earlier in the Shulchan Aruch about the bones when you're done eating, and maybe there's an allowance there because dogs will eat it. But certainly shells, which dogs wouldn't eat, we said are a problem. You know, those garinim piles that start to pile up on the table. So those are things that are seemingly muksa. We've discussed wrappers and chad pa'mi, utensils, one-use utensils, throwaway utensils. So all of these things are seemingly muksa. So how does a person clean up on Shabbos? What do you do about the garbage? So clearly, let's just apply the principles that we've learned so far. Certainly, if the garbage is smelly and the garbage bin, when I say garbage bin, I mean like, let's say the plastic or the metal structure that you put the garbage bag in. So the garbage bin is sitting in your kitchen and you have smelly garbage in there. So if the garbage is smelly and it's a room, right? We already saw in the Shulchan Aruch, it has to be an area where people are using. If you have a garbage in your garage and you don't use your garage regularly and you decide to throw some garbage out there because the kids ran into the garage on Shabbos and they made a mess, so you throw things into the garbage there, and now that garbage is smelly, so you probably can't take that out to the dumpster because you close the door, unless the kids are going to go back into the garage and play. But if it's an area where people are not generally found on Shabbos, or they're not going to be found this Shabbos, so you wouldn't have a heter. But many of us, most of us, I imagine, so our garbages are in our kitchen, and the kitchen is certainly a room that we're going to be using on Shabbos. And therefore, if the garbage is smelly, it would certainly be a heter to take it and to throw it out outside. Similarly, when you are finished eating at the table and you have lots of leftover garbage at the table and leftover food, So we said that these things are theoretically muksa, but you would, and therefore you can't pick them up and start moving them around the house. But to pick them up and to throw them in the garbage would be allowed because you're putting it away, you're getting it away. It's disgusting. So you're moving it away. So you pick it up and you put it in the garbage, and the garbage lid closes and the garbage is now closed, and now you don't smell anything. And therefore you removed something smelly, you removed something repulsive, you removed something disgusting from the table, and you put it into the garbage bag. And therefore, similarly, once the garbage bag itself starts to smell, so you'd be able to take the garbage out. So certainly if a baby has a dirty diaper and you wrap it up, so you'd be able to take that and take it outside and throw it into a garbage bin. The other heter would be, what if the garbage can gets full? Meaning, let's say it's not smelly. If it's smelly, even if it's half full, you could take it out. It's disgusting. What if the garbage bin is just full? The garbage bag is full. So you want to take out that garbage and you want to put a new garbage bag in. So we already saw that that would also be allowed, right? We said that when you take out the excrement in the bucket, why are you allowed to bring the bucket back in? The reason you're allowed to bring the bucket back in is because you're going to need the bucket for someone else to go to the bathroom. So therefore, similarly, once the garbage is full, even if it doesn't smell, seemingly you would be able to take the garbage out and bring it outside once it's in your hand, because you need space to put the next round of garbage. Because if you don't have a place to put the garbage, you're going to have smelly, disgusting things all over your house. And then what are you going to do with them? So that would be the heter, to take the garbage, even if it's full, even if it's not smelly, you would probably be able to move it. But that's really only if you don't have another garbage accessible. Meaning if you have three garbage cans in your kitchen lined up, 1, 2, 3, and one is full and it's not smelly and there's a lid and it's closed, there seemingly is no heter to move that garbage bag because you have other places to put garbage. It's only if I don't have another place to put garbage that I can take it out. Now you might say, okay, so take it out. You know, don't tie a real knot, but tie whatever, swing it around and then put it on the floor and leave it on the floor. So first of all, we know once it's in your hand, you're allowed to keep going with it. So you can keep going with it. But even besides that, I would say that many people would be repulsed by a garbage bag sitting in the middle of their kitchen, even if it's not smelly, but the thought, right, when you see it, it right away, your mind associates it with all the disgusting things that are in there. And nobody, you know, ask your wives, nobody wants a garbage bag, even if it's not a smelly garbage bag, sitting in the middle of the kitchen. But what would come out very lemaisa and very important, I'll take a question in 1 second, is that if you have a half full garbage bag that's not smelly, seemingly it would not be okay to move that garbage bag, because what's my heter to move it? It's half full. So it's not like I don't have place to put my current garbage, and it's not smelly. So there's nothing disgusting about it. So what would be the heter to take out the garbage? There's also an interesting question people start to ask. What if your garbage bag is full and it's not smelly and it's really the end of Shabbos? So you don't really need any more space for garbage. You know, it's 5 minutes to the end of Shabbos. So then seemingly there would be an argument that we should wait. You know, there's always the big question of cleaning up from Shalosh Shabbos, clearing the table after Shalosh Shabbos. So the general discussion is about hachana. You're preparing for after Shabbos. When you clean up from the Friday night meal, that you need that because you need the table for the Shabbos lunch meal. When you clean up from the Shabbos lunch meal, you need that because you need to eat Shalosh Shabbos. Now, if we wanted to really get firm, we could say, okay, so don't use that table. Use a different table. Go eat in your kitchen table. Go eat in your on your porch. So we see we don't say that. We say you're allowed to clean the table in order to use the table again. But after Shalosh Shabbos, you don't need the table anymore. Now, what about coming from the side of Graf Shel Rei? Meaning, what if I don't really need the table? That's true for another meal, but the stuff there is just disgusting. It's repulsive. So the Chora, then there would be a heter to move things, or at least to move the things that are repulsive, and in order to throw them into the garbage. All right, I saw there was a question. Yaakov, you had a question? Yes, please.
Yeah, we mentioned that if you have other garbage cans, then you should theoretically use those first.
If your garbage isn't smelly. Is that?
Like we have the main garbage.
If your garbage isn't smelly. Right?
But let's say I'm not full.
Right.
No, even if it is full.
No. If the garbage is full. Let's say right. Full but not
the main
smelly.
Garbage can in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Is the question. Right. You have the main garbage can in the kitchen, but like in the bathroom and the ensuite, you have two smaller garbages. Like, are we including those? Or?
So I don't think that we require you, therefore, to go search and find all the other garbage until all the garbages are full. And then once it reaches that point, you know, mani achol asot, I have to move this. Now you might say, what do you mean? Why not? But you see that when it comes to Graf Shalrei, the poskim are, it seems, pretty makel in terms of once something is considered a Graf Shalrei, we allow it to be moved. Now again, here we might say, but it's not a Graf Shalrei. It's not smelly. It's just a full garbage. But I think usually what we mean is that if there's another garbage accessible, you know, not if there's another garbage, you're going to start clearing away all your chicken bones into the bathroom garbage. That doesn't sound like that's something that we would be required to do. The really interesting cheshbon that people don't always make is, what about moving the garbage bin to the table? Shalom Binyamin, shalom, how you doing? What about moving, your forehead looks good. Okay, there we go, now we see you. What about moving the garbage bin to the table? You know, like you tell everyone, okay, bring your garbage, everyone take your garbage to the garbage. And then someone says, oh, forget it, I'll just bring the garbage over. You know, and someone walks around with a garbage bag, collects everyone's garbage, and then brings it back to the garbage bin. Seemingly, that would be a lot harder to be matir. It's one thing to pick up the garbage on the table, which is disgusting. Take that and bring it to the garbage in order to get it away. But to take the garbage is muksa. To take the garbage, now you're allowed to take it out of the house if it's disgusting, the garbage. But there isn't just this blanket heter to just move garbage cans around because the stuff that's inside them is disgusting. Once the stuff that's inside them is disgusting, you're allowed to get them out of the house. But there isn't this blanket heter to just move garbage around on Shabbos. So if you have a garbage bag, to move the garbage bag to the table, pashtus would not be okay. You have to bring the garbage to the garbage bin. The garbage bag itself is muksa. I see a question. Let me just throw in, before I take your question, let me throw in the one other application, which is going to be the same discussion. Is people have these sliding drawers, sliding cabinets, that you pull it open and there's a garbage bag in there. So every time you want to throw out the garbage, you sort of are pulling this garbage bag to you, and then you're closing the garbage bag. So that also is a little bit of a question why that should be allowed. Because Lamaisa, why am I able to open the garbage? I have a heter to take garbage off my table, which is gross, and get it away. But who said I'm allowed to open up a garbage and start moving the garbage? Now you might say, what do you mean? That's the only way to throw the garbage away from the table. But it's not exactly the only way. You could take the stuff off the table and just bring it outside. Now that might be very annoying to sit there and have someone take all the garbage off the table and do lots and lots of trips outside. But why should we be allowed to open the drawer and move the garbage bin? Okay, yeah, we had a question. Go ahead. Wait, I don't hear you. Do you guys hear him? No. Oh, now we hear you. Okay, good. Now we hear you.
Now?
Yeah, we hear you now.
What about I hear myself weird. A brand new garbage bag, and it's already in your hand. So it's brand new, nothing in it. Take it to the table, chuck stuff in it. You've already got it. You're holding it. Don't put it down. Keep walking and take everything and then walk it to the outside bins.
Excellent. That seemingly would be okay. Very good. Because if you
that's
have
what I've been doing.
Right. Yeah. An empty garbage bag, which is not muksa, an empty garbage bag. So then that you should be able to move to the table, fill it up with garbage, and then take the garbage out. That's as opposed to taking all the garbage out one by one. So you're just collecting all of it in a bag. The problem is taking the full garbage bag or the half full garbage bag, which is already muksa, and carrying that to the table. Okay.
Unless you were taking that out and then...
Like on your way. Right. Like you're on your way to take it out.
Take it out, detour.
But it would need to be justified to take it out. Meaning if it's not smelly, if you have a garbage bag that's a third full and you're just going to put a couple of items into it and then bring the garbage bag back, that wouldn't be okay. It has to be justified to be able to take it out. So until it's smelly or until it's full, it's not really justified to take it out. Okay, so what are the heterim? So one of the heterim is basically trying to make the garbage bag not muksa, or the garbage bin not muksa. That will then allow you to slide it out or to carry it to the table. How do you make the garbage bin not muksa? So one way, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, is that perhaps many of the items that are in the garbage are not really muksa. And if many of the items in the bag are not really muksa, so the bag becomes a basis ledavar haheter and ledavar hamutter, which means it's allowed to be moved. Meaning, if the bag is filled with only muksa, So then moving the garbage bag is a problem because I'm basically just moving muksa. But if the garbage bag has in it also things that are still edible, not really garbage, like we discussed, bones could be given to a dog, so it's not really muksa. Or we talked about plasticware could theoretically be cleaned, and therefore it's not really muksa. It's not muksa in the same way as something like shells. So the Shmiras Shabbos Kolchasa suggests maybe our garbages are filled with things that are muksa and things that are not muksa, therefore it's not really a problem to move it. So Rav Asher Weiss writes like this, I believe, in a tshuva, trying to be matir, people who bring the garbage bags to the table. But there are a few problems with this. Problem number one, and he himself brings these up. Problem number one is that we're going to see that, and just to give you a little bit of preview of where we're headed in terms of muksa, we, Mirtz Hashem, tonight we're going to finish what I plan on finishing. We probably have one more shir on muksa, maybe one and a half. And then we have just a small, I don't know, two, three shurim on buses, which that's why I'm bringing it up now, because we haven't really discussed the halachos of buses. And then once we're done with buses, that's it, we're basically done with muksa. So we really just have a handful left of shurim left, one and a half on muksa itself, and then three or so on buses, I believe. So one of the things we're going to learn about buses is that, and we've mentioned this already, that the status of something via buses, of being a buses, is set at the onset of Shabbos, which means that you can't make something into a buses ledavar aser viheter by adding mutter things on Shabbos to it. It has to already have mutter things in it before Shabbos. So therefore, if your garbage when you come into Shabbos is filled with gross things, and then during the Friday night meal, I happen to throw in some edible food still, you can't then take the garbage at the end of the meal and say, oh, look, it's a buses ledavar heter mutter. No, it's not. It's a buses ledavar aser. That's number one. Number two, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchas itself brings down that from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that there's a very good svara to say, and I think we discussed this regarding Shemos, we discussed this about a bunch of things, that maybe once you throw it into the garbage, everyone agrees it becomes muksa. Meaning, Mela, when the bones are sitting on the table and I can theoretically throw it to Fido and I decide, you know, and therefore I'm allowed to move it because it's not muksa. Okay, Beseder, I hear that. Mela, when the plastic fork is sitting on the table and it's used, but I can theoretically go wash it in the sink. Okay, it's not muksa. But once I pick it all up and I throw it into the garbage, mechor, at that point, it's muksa. So that's what makes this argument hard. The more, the smoother suggestion, which is something that's brought up also by the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, is to maybe put something into the garbage bin that is for sure a davar mutter. So for instance, put extra garbage bags in the garbage bin with your garbage. Now we're going to see, they can't be like underneath that you can't access them. They have to sort of be on the side that they can be accessed. But as long as they can be accessed, so if you've got a garbage bin, again, your garbage can, and in there you've got your garbage bag with your garbage in it, and you put in it next to it on the side like some extra garbage bags that you'll use. Like, where do you keep your extra garbage bags? So most people, I guess, keep them in a cabinet. But maybe you can also keep them in the garbage bin itself. And that way the garbage bin, the garbage can, is a buses for a davar haaser, all the garbage, but it's also a buses a davar hamutter, all the future garbage bags that you're planning on using. And as we said, garbage bags aren't muksa. Other people say you just stick like a plastic bottle in there, you know, like a usable plastic bottle like this. Stick it not in the garbage, but stick it on the side. And that would allow you to move it. Yes, question.
If you use this loophole, then you have to take the whole garbage can and empty it out when you want to move it. Like, you can't take out the bag then.
Correct. When you want to move it to the table, you have to take the whole garbage bin with you. Correct. But then when you're ready to throw it out, you just take out the garbage bag. This is more of a suggestion that people use for the sliding garbages, those sliding cabinets, which you're going to constantly be opening and closing. How can you open and close it? So if you put something else in there, you know, you could theoretically put a spoon, you know, like a metal spoon. If there's anything else in there before Shabbos, so it's a bus, it's a davar aser via davar mutter. So if you just stick a spoon in on the side, you're able to move the garbage back and forth.
Why do you have to be able to access it?
Say it again.
Why can't it be underneath the garbage bag?
Why can't it be underneath?
Yeah, it's a bus aser slehater.
So this is going to be a big discussion about when you have a surface, and then I have a davar heter on the surface, and then I have a Dabur Usher on top of the Dabur Heter. Is that bottom surface considered a Dabur, a Bussus Dabur Heter and Mutter? Or does it all become a Bussus Dabur Usher because the thing that's on top is the Bussus Dabur Usher? So we're going to see that there's going to be a big discussion about this. Most posts are going to come out that it needs to be that you can equally access both the Dabur Usher and the Dabur Mutter in order for it to be considered a Bussus for both. But Mirza Shem, we'll get to that very soon. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
We've said the solution of putting something in the garbage that's not really garbage, not really mukta.
Right.
The fact is that I'm planning to throw it out. Put it in the garbage because in my eyes, it's not usable anymore.
Well, it depends what we're talking about. If you're talking about a metal spoon, you don't have your camera on, so I don't know if you could see me. But yeah. I held up a metal spoon. Like this metal spoon, I'm not throwing this away. I'm going to put it in my, again, it's not so practical for taking garbage to the garbage bag to the table, because how many people, as Yaakov was pointing out, how many people like pick up the whole garbage can and bring it to the table? What usually bring the garbage bag. So then I would stick with what Svi said, and I would say, take a empty garbage bag and use an empty garbage bag. That's a much better suggestion. But in terms of the sliding garbages, you know, they have this in yeshivas sometimes. They have like these big garbages on wheels, you know? Like the little kids like go running and they like jump onto the side and the garbage is like flying across the room. So something like that, or a sliding garbage in a cabinet. So that's something that you're constantly opening, seemingly you're moving muksa l'shlo etzorech. You don't need to be moving it all the time. You don't have a heter seemingly to do that. So that's something that people suggest. Okay, there's another suggestion doing tzoltel min atzad etzorech davar mutter, like we spoke about the other week. But maybe we'll leave that for now because I want to keep moving. There's an interesting discussion. Shulchan Aruch Lamed Vav brings up the question about making a graf shel rei lechatchila. Ein osen graf shel rei lechatchila. Dainu lavi dover she'asa lemois kidei lehotzio lekashiyamos. Can you, I'm not thinking of a very practical example right now, but can you set up a situation where something will become a graf shel rei in order to allow you to move it in the future? So one of the places where it is mutter is, let's say you're going to allow kids to play with something that's very messy on Shabbos. Can you give your kids something very messy to play with on Shabbos that you know is going to end up leading to a graf shel rei? And it's going to allow you to move something which normally you wouldn't be moving, but because you gave a little kid to play with it, so the post can say that in terms of like letting little kids play or something like that, that is okay. But in general, we don't make a graf shel rei lechatchila. That's quoted here by the Shulchan Aruch. But we're going to keep going because I like to move on to pets. Okay, Shulchan Aruch Lamed Tes, pets. So says the Shulchan Aruch, very fascinating discussion, especially, I don't know if anyone in here is a pet owner. In Israel, that usually means like you have a bird or something like that. You know, it's not as exciting as like a big golden retriever like I grew up with. But so says the Shulchan Aruch like this in Lamed Tes. Osur l'taltel behema chayav yof. You're not allowed to move a behema, a chaya, a domesticated animal, a wild animal, a bird. But you're allowed to flip something over so that the birds can climb on it, just you can't move it while the birds are on it. Okay, very clear in the Shulchan Aruch, there is an Isser Muksa by animals. Why are muksas, animals Muksa? Take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Mem Vav. He says they're like Eitzim Vavonim. They have no purpose on Shabbos. Right? Most of us don't own cows, but there isn't much of a use of a cow on Shabbos. Right? You're not allowed to milk it. It's not really much you can do with a cow on Shabbos. Chickens, horses, there's really nothing to do with these things on Shabbos. They're like sticks and stones. They're useless on Shabbos. Even if something's going to happen to the animals, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to move an animal on Shabbos. It's muksa, and as you see, it's a very strict form of muksa. It's muksa machmas gufo. So this is the halacha. Animals are muksa. Now, take a look in the next Shulchan Aruch, next sif. Mem. Kol behema chayav yof. Midadim osam b'chotzer. You're allowed to be midadeid them in a chotzer. What does that mean? Tahinu she'ocheiz b'tzavarim u'b'tzadim u'malichon. Schlep them. Okay, you can't pick them up, but you're allowed to sort of schlep them a little bit or drag them. Im tzrichin habalechayim lekach, if the animals need it. Now, what does that mean? If the animals need it, Shulchan Aruch continues and says, as long as you don't pick them up where their legs come off the ground, because they're muksa and also l'taltalem. And then he says, except for a chicken, because chickens are always lifting up their legs. You can't really drag chickens. But there's a heter here to drag a chicken, or to drag an animal, or to push an animal, or schlep an animal, im tzrichen habalei chayim lekach, if the animal needs it. What in the world does that mean, if the animal needs it? So take a look in the Mishnah Brura, Kufnu and Aleph, mishum tzar balei chayim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, because of tzar balei chayim, tzim lo kein, oser lasos kein. Because if it's not a situation of tzar balei chayim, you're not allowed to. To call midei de luchazi letzoto, k'shem she'en metaltalin oso, kulo kachem metaltalin miksoso. Just like you're not allowed to pick up the whole animal, not allowed to pick up part of the animal. You can't pick up its leg. You can't drag it a little bit. You're not allowed to move an animal at all. The only reason why we have a heter here to move an animal a little bit is because of tzar balei chayim, which we know tzar balei chayim is a d'oraisa principle. Fascinating machlokas. It's a machlokas, tzar balei chayim, d'oraisa, not d'oraisa. But the opinion that it's d'oraisa, very fascinating, the different makoros. How do we find the makoros for tzar balei chayim? Is it from Bilam? The Rambam writes in the Moreh Nevuchim, it's from Bilam, when the animal, when the donkey says, hey, what are you hitting me for? So you see the Torah Hashkafa, that you shouldn't be hitting animals. There's the halacha of prika and te'ina, of someone has an animal and it's overburdened with a very heavy package on its back, so you're allowed to help unload it. Different suggestions that are brought down. What would be the makka for tzar balei chayim? But says the Shulchan Aruch here, with the explanation of the Mishnah Brura, that you're allowed to quasi move an animal if it's to prevent tzar balei chayim. Now, if you flip a little earlier in the Shulchan Aruch to Shin Hei, we're in Simen Shin Ches. That's the famous Simen about Muksa, Shin Ches. But if you flip to Shin Hei and you go to Sif Yud Tes, so here the Shulchan Aruch has a bona fide case of tzar balei chayim. What's going on? So again, we are in Shin Hei Yud Tes. Look at this case. Behema shenafla la'amas hamayim. You have an animal that fell into, I don't know about a well, but some type of water collection object, water irrigation dike or something. Im hamayim amukim u'mipneikach eino yochel lefarnes habimakomo. If the water's deep and therefore you can't feed the animal, you can't help the idea is you're supposed to leave the animal there until after Shabbos. But you have to feed the animal, you have to help the animal, but if the water's too deep and you're not able to do that, so maybe karum uksasos, you could take karum uksasos, you can take blankets and pillows, v'nosein tachteh mishum tzar balei chayim, afalpi shemavata kli me'echanu. We're not talking about this topic right now, it's a larger topic, but there is a problem to take kalim that are very functional on Shabbos and to make them unusable on Shabbos. So to take your pillows and your blankets and to throw them into this well in order to sop up some of the water and give the animal an ability to climb onto them and get onto dry land. So even though there is an issue with that, a derabanan issue, mevato kli me'echano, you're allowed to do that because of tzar balei chayim. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura Ayin, very important Mishnah Brura for animal owners. Says the Mishnah Brura, aval osur lahalosu biyadayim, but it's prohibited to pick the animal up with your hands and pick him up. To call balei chayim muksim, because they're muksa. Afagavdi katzar balei chayim, and even though it's tzar balei chayim, it's still usser. You can't do the isser derabanan of muksa just because of tzar balei chayim. Okay, and that's why you're only allowed to throw in the karm muksasos. But the Mishnah Brura continues and quotes a very important sheet of the El Yeraba. The ayin be El Yeraba, he says, but take a look in the El Yeraba. Shehevi diyesh poskim shemekilin af lahalosa biyadayim. There are, this is for all the animal lovers in the room. The El Yeraba says that there are poskim who say you can even lift the animal out with your own hands. Im efshar al yidei kar muksasos. If it's impossible to save the animal by throwing in the pillows and the blankets, so then you're allowed to pick the animal up with your own hands. So this is true because we're dealing with muksa. Meaning, when it comes to other malachos, certainly malachos d'oraisa, and even malachos derabanan, you're not allowed to be over on a malacha derabanan because of tzar balei chayim. The El Yeraba is only makil in regards to this specific did of muksa, and we've already seen that muksa is at least in certain areas, it's more makel than other durabanans. And therefore, we're allowing, the Elia Rabbah at least, is allowing muksa in a situation of tzar balei chayim. Now, the Chazon Ish is makel and machmir. What do I mean by that? The Chazon Ish writes that he's willing to extend it to any malacha durabanan. Any durabanan you're allowed to do for tzar balei chayim, but that's where he's more makel. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch said, you can't do muksa. You can just do quasi-muksa. You can drag the animal a little bit, but you can't actually pick him up. The El Yerab said, you can even pick him up. But that's only because we're dealing with muksa. You can't do other durabanans. The Chazon Ish comes and says, you can even do other durabanans. But it's not enough if the only factor is tzar balei chayim. It has to be tzar balei chayim and a hefsed. And a hefsed mamon. Now, I don't know exactly what he means by hefsed mamon. That's what he writes. He just writes hefsed mamon. I don't know if that means that the animal is going to die. That's what he means by hefsed mamon. Or it means that you're going to incur some other type of financial loss. I don't know exactly what he means. But again, for tzar balei chayim, the straight psak is that you're only allowed to do quasi muksa. Your rabbi's makel to do muksa completely, to pick up the animal, if it's the only way to save the animal's life, if it's tzar balei chayim. Now, there's a very interesting, the Dirshu here quotes a very interesting psak. It's quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. A very interesting psak from Shlomo Zalman Orbach about, I find this just very interesting, taking a fish or muksa. So this is something that we've had to deal with this. My in-laws have a very nice fish tank. And once on Shabbos, the power went on the oxidation, I don't know exactly what it's called, the thing that makes the bubbles in the fish tank, which is what's creating the oxygen for the animals, for the fish to breathe. So there was a question of, can you take the fish out in order to bring them to another fish tank that has the oxygen going in order to save the fish? This is a very interesting question because there's a very big debate. So first of all, let's just, before we get into fish, let's just think, what would you say? L'chora, we would say, well, it's tzar balei chayim. But the Shulchan Aruch says you can't do absolute muksa. There's no way to you can't nudge a fish out of a fish tank into another fish tank, right? You can't just give him a little push. You have to literally pick him up. So to pick him up seemingly would be a problem, would be muksa. Maybe we could be making like the El Yerabah. But it's very interesting. There's a whole discussion if there's a din of tzar balei chayim by fish. There might only be a din of tzar balei chayim by regular animals, not by fish. Why would we make such an argument? Because there are certain halachos that are seemingly predicated on tzar balei chayim that don't necessarily apply by fish. Like for instance, Aver Minachai. Does Aver Minachai, big debate, does Aver Minachai apply by fish? It certainly applies by other animals. Does it apply by fish? Not so clear. It might be because it's predicated on tzar balei chayim and there is no din of tzar balei chayim by fish. Another very practical halacha if you own fish, as I'm sure you're aware, there's a halacha in general by animals that before you eat, you have to feed your animals. Do you have to feed your fish before you eat? Okay, a lot of people who have fish don't think of that. Like before I sit down to have my Shabbos meal, do I have to go give the fish, you know, those little flakes? They have their gourmet flakes before I start my meal. So if this whole din of feeding your animals before you feed yourself is rooted in tzar balei chayim, and tzar balei chayim doesn't apply by fish, so this halacha wouldn't apply, this halacha. So this is the very interesting psak of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes that if you have a fish in a fish tank, and I don't know exactly what the metzias here is, but you see that the little fish are getting eaten by the larger fish, are you allowed to take the little fish out on Shabbos to save them? And Shlomo Zalman says no, even according to the El Yerabah. He says no. And he says, because big fish eating little fish is not called tzar balei chayim. That's just called, I don't know, the food chain or whatever it's called. That's just called the marine ecosystem. That's just the way the world works. Big fish eat small fish. It's not called tzar balei chayim. So it's interesting. You have to really be in a situation of what's called tzar balei chayim. Okay. Moving part of an animal, we saw already here in the Mishnah Berurah, is also a problem. So you can't just move. You know, someone might want to say, oh, I want to lift up my dog's leg. I know I can't pick up my dog, but I want to lift up his leg and have him wave to everybody, good Shabbos. So I'm just going to pick up his foot. So picking up part of an animal is a problem, just like picking up a whole animal. Here is, though, the most important question, animals nowadays, and that is, are modern-day pets different? What would be the question? What do you mean? Why would pets be different? The Shulchan Aruch is very clear. Animals are muksa. Well, maybe the din in the Shulchan Aruch was discussing farm animals. Why? Because as the Mishnah Berurah said, why are animals muksa? Because they have no use on Shabbos. What are you going to do with an animal on Shabbos? A cow, a horse, a chicken. But modern-day pets, they really do have a purpose. People have pets to play with. I mean, I guess it depends what kind of fish you have, pet you have. But, you know, if you have like a little scorpion in a little cage, so he's probably not for playing. But dogs and cats, so people like, I happen to not enjoy doing it so much, but people like to hold it and to rub it and to play with it and to, you know, that's the whole purpose of a dog. So, I mean, I guess it depends what kind of dog you have. If it's an eye-seeing dog, it has a different purpose. If it's for security, it's for a different purpose. But certainly house pets, you know, like little gerbils and things like that, the idea, the reason you have them is to play with them. So maybe then they're not muksa. And we already saw by muksa machmas gufo, like rocks and sticks, that you're able, we saw this in Chaf Beis, in Sif Chaf Beis, you're able to set them aside, right? A rock, if you set it aside, certainly indefinitely, right? We saw there were three shitas in the Shulchan Aruch there. Is it enough just for one Shabbos? Do you have to set it aside indefinitely? But certainly if you set it aside indefinitely, you can use a rock and turn it into a door stopper, and it's not muksa anymore. So why can't I look at my dog and say to my dog, okay, you are my, you know, play item that I'm going to play with in the house. And, you know, we're going to, you know, play fetch, and we're going to roll around on the floor and pet you and pick you up. So I'm setting you aside for usage on Shabbos. Why should that be any worse than a stick or a rock, which you can do that for? So Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Shulchan Shlomo that the suffix is maybe they made a separate gezeira on animals. Meaning they didn't just say, okay, animals are another example of rocks and sticks. But maybe they said that animals are a separate gezeira, an objective category of muksa. It's not muksa machmas gufo like sticks and stones. I know that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. But maybe animals are, there's a muksa. It's called balei chayim. Balei chayim are muksa. And therefore, even if you would have a purpose for it, it would be a problem. Happens to be that there's a machlokas rishonim regarding a bird, which is being used to quiet a child. It must be a child who's really upset. So someone wants to bring in like a little parakeet, and like the kid will get like distracted by the parakeet. So there's a Tosos and Shabbos about this. Tosos on Memhei and Beis. He quotes from Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was Rav Yosef Porat. He was he's quoted a lot in Shabbos. He's not quoted in so many Masechtas, but in Shabbos he's quoted a lot. Rav Yosef Porat. So he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. So it says there that Rav Yosef was Mekel. He said, why can't you set it aside? And it quotes there the other Balei Tosfos disagreed with him. And most of the Rishonim end up disagreeing with him. The Rush quotes this. They all quote this psak of Rav Yosef, and many of them disagree with him. But you see already there's a machlokas we showed him that maybe you can set aside an animal. Now you could still make the argument that pets are different. Why? Because there it was a bird that they wanted to set it aside before Shabbos to use it to quiet the child. There was a child who loved the bird and the child was very finicky, so they wanted to set us. That's an animal that is providing some utility, meaning it's really a bird. It really doesn't have any use on Shabbos, but we would like to set it aside to be able to use it on Shabbos. Maybe it's very different if we're talking about an animal whose entire existence is for usage. Like my pet poodle. My pet poodle is not a random wild animal that we figured out a way to use it. So like maybe we can use it like the bird. We're talking about something that is really there to be used on Shabbos. So the modern day poskim talk about house pets. Most poskim are still machmir. Rav Moshe was asked about it. He was machmir. Rav Haji Yosef was machmir. Shlomo Zalman was machmir. Herschel Schachter, I've heard it. I know was asked about it. Herschel Schachter said it was machmir. Most modern day poskim say that pets are house pets, dogs are still muksa, which is something that a lot of pet owners don't know. They don't realize that on Shabbos you're not supposed to pick up your dog. You're not supposed to, pick the dog up and sit on the couch with the dog. The dog is muksa. There was a very important and big posek, Oz Nidbaru, the Rav Zilber, who Rav Binyamin Zilber, who was Mako on the issue, I believe. He writes in a tshuva in Chelek Ches, Tshuva Lamed Vav. He's Mako on pets. There's also a little bit of controversy about Rav Moshe's Psak, because Rav Yisrael Bodner, who has a Sefer on Muksa, so in the back of the Sefer, it's a very nice English Sefer, in the back of the Sefer, he has tshuvas in Hebrew that he wrote to Rav Moshe. So one of the things he asks Rav Moshe is about house pets, dogs. And Rav Moshe writes that it's Muksa, can't touch them. Now, after Rav Moshe passed away, the family printed the eighth volume of Igros Moshe. The first seven volumes of Igros Moshe were all printed during Rav Moshe's life. After he passed away, an eighth volume was printed by his grandson, Rav Mordechai Tendler, who was a shamish by his house for many years. And he writes that these are tshuvas that they were either in work or they just weren't included in the earlier versions. So they put out an eighth volume of Igros Moshe. This exact same tshuva appears in this eighth volume, but there's an extra line. And the extra line says, but if it's an actual house pet, then it's not muksa. Meaning the tshuva question was, are dogs muksa? So Rav Moshe writes, yes. And that's how it appears in Rav Bodner's Sefer. But in the later volume of Igros Moshe, it says, but if it's a house dog, then it's not muksa. So this was a big debate. Where did this line come from? Did Rav Bodner leave it out? Or did Rav Mordechai Tendler stick it in? So, and what was Rav Moshe's real opinion on this issue? So there's a little bit of debate. I'm certainly not in a position to take sides. I think the standard understanding from Talmidim of Rav Moshe is that Rav Moshe was Machmir and was not Mekel. But just an interesting side note, a little bit of debate about Rav Moshe's Psak. Another very interesting discussion, I guess we will end with two more things. So I'll try to say it quickly. One is, what about fish tanks? Now, I don't mean this big built-in fish tank that's built into the wall. You're not doing anything with that. But, you know, your kid has three goldfish that are probably going to live for another week, and they're in this glass bowl on your table. Are you allowed to move that? Seemingly not at all. It's a busis for muksa. The fish are muksa. Why in the world would you be able to move it? So the post can bring up is it may be possible that these are not animals. This is home decor. This is it's like a picture. The fish are sitting on the counter, not as fish. They're not animals. I mean, we obviously realize they are animals, but they're more of like a house item. And they're regularly moved around. Just like you have flowers that are muksa, because they're sticks, but you set them aside to be home decorations, and therefore you can move them around in the house. So too, the fish are animals, but really the fish are just home decorations, and therefore, and everybody moves them around, right? You know, a lot of families that have little kids, so on their kitchen counter, they'll have like a little fish tank, because the kid got a goldfish, and that gets moved around on the table. So Rav Moshe was machmir on this issue. All these makaros are in your packet. Rav Moshe was machmir, but Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that there might be room to be mekel regarding this issue. Okay, one last issue about pets, and we'll end with this, and that is petting a dog. Are you allowed to pet a dog on Shabbos? We already said you definitely can't pick up a dog. You definitely can't move a part of a dog. You can't start picking up his leg. But what about just to pet his hair? This is a very interesting discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to go 3 minutes over here. Just I'm going to show it to you because it's very interesting. If you look at Shin Gimel, right? We're in Shin Ches. Flip to Shin Gimel, Yud Aleph. Shulchan Aruch has a very interesting, you know, I guess they lived in a different world than we did, because I've never done this in my life. But the, Shin Beis. Shin Beis Yud Aleph. Look what he says. Mishin islach lech yado betit. If your hands get dirty with mud or with, something like that. Mikancha biznav hasus u biznav hapara. So you can just sort of rub your hands on a horse's tail. Znav hasus. And that way you can clean your hands with the horse's tail. So that's what I said. I've never done that personally. But I guess if I had very dirty hands and I was near a horse, I guess that is an option. So if you look in the Ber Halacha there quotes from the Sefer Tosefa Shabbos that obviously this must be talking about a tail of a horse that's not connected to the horse anymore. It must be somebody cut off a horse's tail and it's sort of like hanging on their wall as like a towel. And that's why you're doing it, because if it's part of the animal's muksa. And we saw already in the Mishnah Berurah that just like you can't move an animal, you can't move part of an animal. So how can you rub your hands on the dog's tail? And the Be'er Halacha himself says, I don't think that that's pshat. I mean, is that what you thought it meant when you read the Shulchan Aruch, that it was talking about a disconnected tail? Obviously, it means a connected tail. So the Be'er Halacha says it's got to be that when they made the gezeira against animals, that animals are muksa, they only made the gezeira on the goof of the animal and not on the hair of the animal. Only on the body, the lobus seyar. That's what the Be'er Halacha writes over there. So according to that, posts can make an argument that you might be able to pet a dog on Shabbos. Why? First of all, there's a machlokas about whether animals are muksa. We saw that most poskim say they are, but certainly if someone's more makel about animals, yeshal milismoch. So I would certainly encourage you not to say anything unless, you know, it's something, someone who's really interested in your opinion. But many dog owners touch their dogs and move their dogs, and usually it's not smart to start up with them. So first of all, there is a tzad to say that it's mutter to move the animal. But more than that, we have a Be'er Halacha who says that moving the hair of an animal is not necessarily a problem. So I guess it depends on, you know, how small the animal is and how hard you're petting it. But generally, if you just pet the outside of the hair, so all you're moving is the hair, you're not moving the body of the animal. And there would seemingly be an argument. And there's tshuvas that came out not so long ago, tshuvas of Nevensal. It's in your source packet, source 109. So Rav Nevensal was asked, it's like these one-line questions for Rav Nevensal. So Rav Nevensal was asked about petting an animal, and he said, you know, there is some room to be makel, even though he's certainly machmir when it comes to pets.